This is URN.
We are back with The Pulse, and we are now going to go over to Olivia to talk about the obesity crisis.
Yeah, so there was an article published in The Guardian today that's basically stated that we're in a global health crisis. So not just in the UK, but everywhere, and it's growing worse by the year. And apparently by 2030, almost half the world's population will be overweight or obese if current trends continue. And that was a warning issued by the World Health Organization. There are already 124 million obese children in the world, and more than a million of these live in the UK alone, which has the worst obesity rates in Western Europe, which I found really interesting because I hadn't realised that beforehand. And 4 in 5 of these obese children will grow up to be obese adults. So it's obviously something that continues into later life as well. And apparently, according to the article, this is a social problem, both in cause and consequence. And the chief executive of NHS England, Simon Stevens, has warned that obesity could bankrupt the health service. So obviously this has got not just impacting individuals, it's also impacting, like, you know, economic structures as well and the public health service. And campaigners have warned that because research now proves that initiatives which tackle both diet and exercise and make efforts to reach out to families aren't being as effective as previously thought. So there's kind of like a lot of questions about what else we can do to kind of tackle this problem. So children in schools in the West Midlands were given a year of extra physical activity sessions, a healthy eating programme and cookery workshops with their parents, but it failed to have any significant effect on children's weight. So my kind of question to you guys is, what else can we do? And kind of how bad do you think the problem really is? I mean, according to those statistics, it seems like it's really quite bad.
I think the problem's bad because a lot of parents do this, but they don't have the time, or they work, or they can't be bothered. And so, not can't be bothered, but it's easier to go to the co-op and get a ready meal, or to get something you can chuck in the oven every night and just be like, there you go, than actually sit and cook a whole, you know, homemade healthy dinner thinking about the balance of what's in it.
In Latin America, I just want to add quickly, so they've taken kind of more, they've kind of taken different measures which are a little bit more, I don't know, forceful perhaps. So for example, they've forced companies to remove cartoon characters from cereal boxes, imposed junk food taxes and ordered school tuck shops to replace high salt and sugar products with fruit and vegetables. So do you think we should start...
I didn't even think about that junk food. Because yeah. I don't count, if I, you know, if people go out and then we go to McDonald's or something afterwards, I don't count that as eating or a meal. I'm just like, I'm hungry, I want food. And then I go to bed and forget about it. And that's so true, because it, yeah.
So do you think we need to be, like, kind of implementing things like this in the UK?
Well, I mean, at my school, it wouldn't allow you to have more than one portion of certain foods. So you'd have to have some form of veg or fruit on your plate, and you'd kind of have to cover the food groups, and it wouldn't let you cover certain food groups more than once. Like, if there was pasta, you weren't allowed to have pasta and chips on your plate. But that was my school, like, that's what they did at
that's a school. Good idea though.
The thing is with that though, you could follow the rules, and then when you sit down and eat it, you don't have to eat anything but the chips if the person doesn't want
yeah,
to.
But you
we had dinner
have...
ladies guarding our bins. You're not throwing that away.
You also couldn't
away.
Have pasta and chips, which a lot of people will usually go down if there's nobody watching. They'll go and they'll be like, oh, this carb looks nice on this section, and then, oh, this side section, this yeah, carb looks yeah. nice, and then, yeah. you know.
But is it forceful enough? Is it going to have a big enough effect? Because if there's already things like this that are in place and it's not having much
I mean,
of an
even
effect.
The sugar tax, we did that, and that hasn't had yeah. that much of an effect, I'd say.
I think the thing is, because regardless of what you put a sugar tax on, like, if a kid has saved up, like, a pound of pocket money, you can still get your hands on some chocolate regardless of what yeah. the tax is. Do you know what I mean? So I think it is something that's socially constructed, because it's not the fact that, like, suddenly we have necessarily more food or much, much more unhealthy food. It's just that it's more widely accepted to
eat more.
It's not even that. It's not eating worse things. It's just more widely accepted not to eat the eat well plate kind of thing. You know, when I was at school, you learned about the eat yeah. well plate and stuff. And, I mean, the other thing that I noticed as well is I think now more than I ever used to when I was younger is I feel like people that obviously are not obese but are kind of by definition overweight in the sense of they are over what the healthy weight should be, mm-hmm. maybe don't look like they are. Or you kind of see someone that is overweight, but you kind of think, oh, yeah, well, they're not all right. And so that kind of reflects on the way you feel about yourself. Do you know what I mean? So although obviously there's the whole flip side of like body confidence and people being worried about how they look and all that kind of thing with, you know, size zero models in the yeah. media. But there is, in normal society, I think it's become more accepted to be a little bit overweight, but not to see it as a problem because it's become so much more normalized. You know, the fact that there's 1 million children in this country, there's like
over 1 million,
over
well.
1 million, like there's only 60 million people in the in whole the country. Country,
so
like,
but it's not even just a matter of food, it's a matter of exercise, because kids aren't necessarily, especially I think when you're younger, yeah, you've got your fixed PE time or whatever, but I mean there is a period where it's kind of up to you. I mean, when I was in sick form, we still had very constricted, like regular, you had to do this.
Same.
But a lot of people don't. A lot of people,
I didn't when I was at sick
here's
form.
Up to you now.
When I was in sick form, we didn't have any kind of physical exercise session.
I often wonder why the responsibility falls on the government and not on parents.
Because
the fact is I came to uni, I had to cook for myself. I had to fend for myself. And the fact is my parents have taught me how to cook. My parents have taught me what's healthy. Schooling has taught me what's healthy and unhealthy. Then it's just my choice as a grown person to choose what I put in my body at this stage.
Example, things like taking the cartoon characters off of the cereal boxes, though. If you, like, for kids, not necessarily for people our age. I mean, if I saw a cartoon character on a cereal box, maybe it would, maybe I think it looked a bit like a happier box of cereal. Yeah. I don't know. But it probably wouldn't have much of an effect. But when you're a kid, when you, like the shampoo bottles that have like the, they were always like made into like a princess or a prince. Yeah. Or like, yeah, I always wanted one of them. Yeah. My mum always said no because they're like more expensive. But like, it's the same with the cereal box if it's got a cartoon character on the front.
But I've never known kids, I like, from my experience of being around kids or even when I was a kid, unless it had a toy in it or anything like that, I've never seen a kid go, I want that cereal because it's
like
got
Happy
that
Meals,
character
because they've
it.
Got toys in
the, yeah, Happy Meals it's and things reward. Like that, it makes sense. But I don't think that's the case necessarily in supermarket
I
products.
I don't know whether it's necessarily about, you know, you go in shopping with your mum and you see like the, what was it, the Frosty's Tiger and think, oh, I want that.
But
I think it's more a case of once the thing's already been bought, you associate that cereal with whatever's on the box.
Another,
and then it becomes more familiar than just the box.
Interesting thing, just talk about the toys quickly. Mm. In, I think it's Argentina, they've actually banned the Kinder eggs because they've got toys in the middle because they think it encourages children to buy Kinder eggs because obviously then they get a toy out of
it. I know somebody who had a whole cupboard just full of the toys that got Kinder eggs, so then they start buying more to eat to add to it. So, you know, it is a thing people do.
I think it is the only way we can get over this crisis, and I do agree it is a crisis. But the only way we can do it is to stop thinking, okay, well, it should be up to the government to implement things in schools. Like, you can't just send your kid to school and they'll come back educated, healthy. Like, more of the influences and more of the time that that child spends during their childhood comes from what's going on at home.
But then this is what I want to say. It's quite controversial. I'm not necessarily saying I agree with it at all, but obviously, this has been a relatively recent increase in the same way as there used to be in the olden days or as such, you know, one parent at home as like a housewife and one person who went to work. And so it was their job to make sure that, a well-rounded meal was on the table, their kids were going to all their soccer practices and stuff. And I am not in any way saying that I agree that, you know, women shouldn't be able to work or one parent has to stay at home, but I feel like there is less time for children or maybe less
well it was
emphasis.
More normalized to have a dedicated parent just focusing on exactly what and to on, be yeah. a parent, you know, if you are obviously it's different, some people don't choose to be parents, sometimes it happens in an accident or whatever, and some people think they are ready to be a parent and maybe they're not, but you know, when you think about, am I able to actually be a good parent, you have to be able to think, have I got the time? And money does come into it as well. Like, you know, there are people that have to buy unhealthy food because that cheaper. Is cheaper.
But, like, I grew I grew up with a single mum and she taught me what was healthy. She limited she limited how many biscuits I was and wasn't allowed to eat.
Maybe not
and,
soon,
like, but, like, she didn't indulge me. She taught me when I could and couldn't eat. And
you know, she became like, I started doing my five a day with my gran. Like, but my gran was determined to do her, my five a day, and so I did my five a day.
But this is the thing, you get some parents, and this is what I'm saying, I didn't necessarily agree with it, because my mum was a single mum, you know, she raised me, and you do get parents who can do both and who will dedicate their time, but I think some parents would rather, because you've got work, family, and social life, and maybe some parents indulge
I don't think having a parent staying at home, for me, I don't think it makes a difference at all. No. Like, again, my mum was a single mum. She made sure that there was time for me and my sister to grow up, knowing the difference. I feel like actually probably one of the problems might be that actually a lot of parents don't understand the ramifications of their kids not eating properly and not understanding what is and isn't healthy, because there are a lot of adults who are arguably uneducated about this.
And it's becoming more, themselves. As you said, more acceptable to not necessarily be obese, but to be, you know, it's larger, like, not, to put on,
right? I think, isn't it the average size in the UK is now a size 12 to 14?
Yeah.
Whereas it used to be a size 8 to 10. So, like, not to say that if you are a 12 to 14 that actually, no, you need to have a reality check and you are overweight. Like, I'm not saying that at all. A lot of it is to do with just body shapes changing and that kind of thing. And also just, like, I cannot tell you how many times I've been into one shop and, like, a size 10 or a size 8 is completely different in different places. But the fact that it's moved from an 8 to a 10 to a 12 to a 14 does show that average and normality in this country is getting bigger.
I also feel like, I mean, I might be wrong, but it's kind of a, you know, it used to be maybe, oh, you know, girls depicted in films or saying, oh, I'll just have a salad or I'll just have this on dates. I feel like it's almost become now more of a thing to be like, oh, I'm such a foodie. Like, oh, I love all my food. I eat all this food.
Yeah, but there's a difference between loving your food and knowing what's, like,
or not necessarily that, but indulge. So the people are, oh, I love to indulge. I love to be, you know, it's like a thing,
but
it's not necessarily
in moderation. Like, everything is good for you in moderation, but it's just
arguably you might be suggesting that if you see, like, celebrities who are saying, oh, I indulge, and they're still like
stick fit.
Yeah,
you think,
but it's still encouraging. Like, kids could arguably get the wrong idea.
Yeah, but
potentially.
Then you have ones who are like, I don't know, if I think of Dwayne Johnson, for example, he has a very regimented food regime and then just has those monster one day where he's like, this is my day.
But it depends who you follow. And I think as a child, it depends who you're...
For example, Jennifer Lawrence, not saying that, like, I completely agree with what she says, like, she indulges and she's not afraid to kind of admit that. But she's potentially, she's potentially an example of someone... Like, she probably indulges in moderation, like you've said, but a child watching her interviews or
isn't
a young person may not, if they're not educated enough, may not realise that she indulges, but she's doing it in moderation.
But again, I think that's down to parental responsibility, where they're allowing their kids to fall into these traps or think about things like that. And I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say that most people who have overweight or obese kids are probably overweight or obese themselves.
Yeah, because you provide the same food to them
and you're eating the same. And so if you yourself aren't willing to be healthy, you're not going to enforce the same rules because then you're going to be a hypocrite of a parent, and it just wouldn't work.
Unless you're really into it, it can take a lot. It's a lot of time and planning for kids.
Again, it almost comes back to educating the adults of the parents of the kids rather than the kids themselves.
So as you said, the cooking classes that they did with the parents and the kids, that's a good thing. It's things like that. We need to be targeting the parents, maybe even in work, in adult workplaces.
But then that report was saying that hadn't really made an effect on anything.
The report was mainly pointing out things that... had been aimed at kids that hadn't worked,
right.
I think. The cooking class was one example, and it said that that was the only thing I noticed that had anything to do with the parents at all. Most of it was stuff that had been aimed at kids because they're trying to stop the problem early, which I fully understand, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. If the kid goes to school from 9 till 3 or whatever, then teachers can tell them as much as they want, lunches can be as healthy as they want, but if their parents then take them to McDonald's every night, then they're just going to be like, oh, at school I eat healthy and at home I don't. And then when you leave school, you just fall into what you did at home.
Well, I think that's all we have time for today. If you have any comments on that, do message in at urn1350.net or text us at 07903 545 252.